This morning's scripture reading is Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 to 33. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air can come and make nests in its branches." He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened."
I want to begin this morning just to illustrate with a story how God works in our world. And it's titled Just a Kid with Cerebral Palsy, and it's written by Tony Campolo. It says, "I was asked to be a counselor in a junior high camp." Everybody ought to be a counselor in a junior high camp just once. A junior high kid's concept of a good time is picking on people. And in this particular case, at this particular camp, there was a little boy who was suffering from cerebral palsy. And his name was Billy. And they picked on him. Oh, they picked on him. As he walked across the camp with his uncoordinated body, they would line up and imitate his grotesque movements. I watched him one day as he was asking for directions. "Which way is the craft shop?" he stammered, his mouth contorting. And the boys mimicked in their awful stammer, "It's over there, Billy." And then they laughed at him, and I was irate. But my furor reached its highest pitch when on Thursday morning it was Billy's cabin's turn to give the devotions. And I wondered what would happen, because they had appointed Billy to be the speaker. And I knew that they just wanted to get him up there just to make fun of him. And as he dragged his way to the front, you could hear the giggles rolling through the group of boys that were there. And it took Billy almost 5 minutes to say 7 words. "Jesus loves me, and I love Jesus." And when he finished, there was dead silence. I looked over my shoulder and saw junior high boys bawling all over the place. A revival broke out in that camp after Billy's short testimony. And as I travel all over the world, I find missionaries and preachers who say, "Remember me? I was converted at that junior high camp. We counselors had tried everything to get those kids interested in Jesus. We even imported baseball players whose batting averages had gone up since they had started praying. But God chose not to use the superstars. He chose a kid with cerebral palsy to break the spirits of the haughty. He's that kind of God." That illustration reminds me of the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 1:27, where Paul wrote, "God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong." You know, we sometimes think that we're not capable of making much of a difference in the kingdom because, you know, we don't have the right personality or the right spiritual gift or enough biblical education or training. But when we think like that, we deny the power of God, who can do more than we could ever ask or imagine. A month or so ago, I shared with you my thoughts on the parable of the sower, and we talked about, you know, planting the seeds of the kingdom and how in order for growth to occur, the seeds have to be planted. They have to be taken out of the bag. This morning I want to share two more kingdom parables that Dan read for us that are related to that. And what God can do with something so insignificant as one tiny seed. You know, in Matthew's gospel, the parable of the mustard seed and the leaven immediately follow the parable of the sower and the weeds in Matthew 13. And if you've read the book of Matthew, chapter 13 is kind of the kingdom chapter where Matthew groups almost all the kingdom parables into that one chapter. The parable of the sower, of course, makes the point that when the word of God is taught, there are going to be many people who hear it. But it's only going to grow and produce the fruits of righteousness in those who have good hearts. Jesus tells the parable of the weeds in Matthew 13, verses 24 through 30. And in that parable, Jesus compared the kingdom of heaven to a person who sowed good seed and an enemy who sows weeds. Both grew, but when it was time for the harvest, of course, the weeds will be separated from the wheat, from the good stuff. And so that's sort of a picture of the world. You know, in the world, there are God's people who are living in the light, and there are people who belong to the devil, people who are living in darkness. And when the end comes, the two groups are going to be separated. Those living in the light will go to be with God, and those living in darkness will go to be with the devil and his angels. And it's in that context, then, that Jesus tells the parable of the mustard seed and the leaven, beginning in Matthew 13, verse 31. And so in that parable, as you heard, Jesus compares the kingdom of God to a mustard seed. And it indicates that in that parable that the mustard seed is one of the smallest of all the seeds. But when the seed grows, it produces a tree that's the largest in the garden. It's larger than all the other plants, other garden plants, and even the birds can make its nest in it and so forth. When you consider the kingdom of God and how it began, a seed, much smaller than a mustard seed, was implanted in the body of a young woman in a very small village in Nazareth of Galilee. And what resulted from that, of course, was the birth of Christ in a small town called Bethlehem. And of course, Jesus, this baby, of course, was the Son of God, and the kingdom of God was born right there in that small village of Bethlehem, which would have been the size of a small neighborhood in Westerville. Jesus then used a similar illustration about the kingdom of heaven, comparing it to leaven that a woman placed in a batch of dough, which permeated the entire batch. And the amount of dough Jesus mentioned here was 3 measures, which actually is equal to about 110 pounds of dough, which is probably a week's worth of bread for a Jewish family. And it's a similar thought here to the mustard seed. A very small amount of leaven or yeast can have a very significant influence because it influences the entire batch. Now, if you've ever baked bread or watched someone baking bread, you know that, of course, the dough rises, and it can rise to several times its original size, but it doesn't just cause one part of the dough to rise, as you can see in this picture. It causes the entire batch to rise. It permeates all of the dough. So these are two parables in which the explanations really have not been given, as they were with the parable of the sower. So we have to interpret them for ourselves. The mustard seed parable is about something that starts out rather small and grows to a significant size. Pretty easy to interpret. And when you consider the size of the kingdom of God today, you know, it's all over the world. I mean, there are Christians in every nation of the world, and it all began in that one small village through that one microscopic seed planted in a young woman's body. And now it's all over the world. And the fact that there aren't very many people in this world, if any, that have not heard about Jesus and do not know about the existence of God and the Bible proves the truth of this parable. And I think an application that would be appropriate for our setting, there are a number of applications we could make, but it's that the little things can make a huge difference. The little kindnesses that you extend to others can make big differences in their lives. It's similar to planting mustard seeds in people's lives. Never discount what a small kindness can do, because as this parable illustrates, even the smallest seed, the smallest good deed, can result in tremendous growth. In John 4, Jesus, if you recall, asked the woman at the well if she could give him a drink of water. And in verse 39 of John 4, it says, many of the Samaritans in that town believed in Jesus because of what the woman said. Many people came to believe in Jesus, and it all began with Jesus simply asking for a drink of water. And it really wasn't Jesus that converted those people. He didn't teach them to believe. It was the woman, what the woman said. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. Just show kindness. Just show love and concern for other people. And that plants a small seed. And if the soil is good, it'll grow and produce fruit. So just showing concern can have a life-changing impact. The parable 11 seems to be comparing not specifically growth, although, you know, the dough, of course, does rise or grow, but it seems rather to be illustrating just the powerful impact it has on the kingdom. You know, twice in Paul's letters, he used the illustration of leaven kind of in a negative context. One of those is in 1 Corinthians 5:6. He wrote, your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? And he was using the illustration of leaven basically to make a negative point there. But the point he made can also be used in a positive context, you know, which I believe is what Jesus is doing here in this parable of the leaven. So the kingdom of heaven is also, it's not just like a mustard seed, but it's also like leaven. In other words, it can completely transform the object in which it is placed, whether it's a person's soul, whether it's in the world, or whatever. When you consider all of the laws on the books in our country, you know, many of them originated really from the Word of God. You know, don't murder, don't steal, don't bear false witness are all universal laws, not only in this country, but just about in every country of the world. And when I kind of look at my own life, you know, I see significant growth has taken place as a result of the leavening influence of God's Spirit and His Word in my life. I mean, it hasn't just influenced one part of my life. You know, it's influenced every single aspect of my life. It's influenced all of my relationships. It's influenced the way I think, what I do, where I go, how I use my time, how I handle my resources, even how I care for my body. It has completely influenced every aspect of my life. And if you've been a Christian for very long, I'm sure you too can see growth and transformation that's taken place in your life over that period of time. The application here is that the kingdom of God is a powerful transforming influence in every aspect of a person's life and in the world. And that's why we can't shy away from talking about the Lord or planting the seeds of kindness and love wherever we go and in whatever we're doing. You know, be ethical. Be ethical in your life. Be ethical at work. Be trustworthy. Be honest. Always keep your word. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. Because that kind of godly living has a transforming power. It's like leaven in a loaf of bread. It's like the mustard seed in the garden. You know, many times, a lot of times we think we just have to do something really big to make a difference in someone's life or in our community. But it's really more about the small little acts of love and kindness that have the greater impact. And each one of us, this is the blessing, each one of us can perform those small acts of love and kindness. And I want to share with you just a quick example of that in the same book. It's titled At the Counter. It's written by Paula Kirk. It says, "This has been a miserable Easter vacation. As I walked through the airport, my heart was heavy at the devastation in my daughter's life. Her husband of 1 year had left her, and she was almost immobilized by shock and sorrow. And because she's an air traffic controller, she was now terribly worried about her ability to stay focused. I stopped to buy souvenirs for my grandchildren back home, and while the credit card processed, the smiling clerk asked how I liked her home state. It's beautiful, I replied, but I say that about nearly every place I visit. Yes, she nodded. God has made a beautiful world for us to enjoy. So much variety. What did you see on your vacation?" Immediately, the tears welled up. The grief was raw and close to the surface. It wasn't a vacation, just a serious family problem, and my daughter is having an extremely hard time. I hate to leave her, I stammered. Oh, but God is good. He will work on your daughter's behalf. I know, I whispered back through tears that now flowed freely. From that counter, I took away more than my small purchase. I took away a touch of Christ's resurrection power, the power of God's love to reach out and touch a hurting heart. It's just a small seed. Few words. Just a few words to a stranger. When you help someone, when you show genuine love and concern for the lives of other people, it's powerful. And it's powerful because it's God's love. And godly love is like this bright light in this very dark world in which we live. And Jesus is the one who said, "Let your light so shine so people will see your good deeds and glorify God." You know, some Christians aren't very bright. And I'm not talking about intellect. I'm talking about the light. The world in which we live is a rather dark world. So you need to glow in the dark. Glow in the dark through acts of kindness, just small acts of kindness. You know, in a few minutes, some of you may be going to a restaurant for lunch. Glow in the dark. You know, be kind to the other drivers on the road. When you eat at the restaurant, glow in the dark. Be kind to your server. Be generous to your server. When you go to work tomorrow, glow in the dark. Be kind to your fellow employees. Don't talk to them behind their back. Be kind to your customers. Work hard. Go the extra mile. Season your speech with salt. Be gracious to others. Because it's about planting small seeds of the kingdom that can grow to be the largest plant in the garden. So mustard seed is the smallest seed. What's the largest plant? Jesus is telling you how much potential it has. You know, leaven permeates the entire batch. Your concern for the lives of others needs to grow. We need to have a growing concern for the lives of other people. And small acts of kindness can turn into big changes in people's lives. And in the kingdom, small acts of love and kindness can cause significant transformation. We just have to remember that. It doesn't take something huge. You don't have to walk up to somebody and say, "You know Jesus?" You don't have to do that. Just be Jesus. Just be Jesus wherever you go. That's such good news, because it means that every single one of us can make a significant difference just by doing the little things. Keep in mind, God is the one who causes the growth. It's not us. So you don't have to be talented or smart. Just glow in the dark. If you would, if you have a communication card, I'd ask you to consider taking one of the next steps this morning. I've only given you two this morning. Read chapter 13 again. It's the kingdom chapter. A lot of descriptions of God's kingdom in that chapter. And I'm asking you to accept the glow challenge. Let your life glow in this dark world by showing concern through your small acts of kindness and love for the people with whom you interact. You know, that woman just used the name of God a couple of times at the counter. And it made a huge difference in that woman's life. So anytime you're interacting with somebody, be sure to show your concern and love for that person, because you just never know how that seed may grow, how that leaven may permeate that person's life. If we can help you make a decision today about Jesus, let us know. If you've already made your decision, please let us know that also. If you're ready to be immersed into Christ, if you're ready to confess your faith in Him, we would love to take that confession today. We would love to help you be baptized today into Christ. And you can respond by walking down to the front as we sing the song, or speaking to one of us afterwards. Either way, make your decision today. Don't let another day go by without making that decision. We encourage you now as we stand and as we sing.